With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball. This is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
Hey, warmer from Evo. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. We've got an excellent podcast for you guys. Joining me in segment number two, we are going to be joined by one of our good friends, Jared Smith. He does absolutely amazing work here at the network. We're going to be diving in with him to take a look at what we've all got in terms of the Yerfy and Nerfy front in baseball. So I know that he does a great job with that regard. We're going to be taking a look at just what he's noticed as far this season in baseball, some of the teams that he's a little bit bullish/bearish on, and take a look at a few games that we've got for Wednesday in the final segment. Going to get you guys picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Wednesday as we touch them all. If you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter/X timeline at GNN_D1. Keep in mind, Larry CM, naming does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. Other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. Them from there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Did not get in any Twitter/X questions today, but we had a fun day of baseball on Tuesday. Let's take a look back at it, try to find some trends, and try to get to know these teams a little bit better.
A game from yesterday is Greg buzzing about. Here is the rowdy recap.
It was B-Gate out there in Arizona. Unfortunately, I have to have this up by midnight Pacific. Right now, the LA Dodgers are up by a count of 2-1, but absolute calamity for the Arizona Diamondbacks. They decided to scratch Jordan Montgomery because he had about a 90-minute delay due to bees. They had Ben Jarvis be the bulk guy in this one as they had an open from Brandon Hughes. He gave you a scoreless inning. Jarvis did go 3 scoreless from there. You have seen Joe Mantiply along with Justin Martinez in a combined 2 innings give up 2 runs. And for the Arizona Diamondbacks, they just have not been able to get anything going whatsoever. As Landon Knack, he did not get scratched due to the bees. He gave up a solo run over the course of his 5 innings going deep for Arizona. Christian Walker, 6th home run of the season as I record this. That's a lone form of offense we've gotten, but not something that you see very often. So we shall see what happens there. Like I said, at the time of recording, just don't know how that turned out just due to the game being delayed so far. But we know how this turned out. The Milwaukee Brewers, they took it to the Tampa Bay Rays, a Rays team that has now lost 4 out of their last 5 games. 8-2, the final for the Brewers as Tyler Alexander, not the start he was looking for. Gives up 3 runs over the course of 4 innings, but wasn't quite as bad as our good friend in Jacob Lopez, who gives up 5 runs in 3 innings, including home run going deep for the Brewers. Willy Adames, his 4th home run season. Brewers have been one of your top over teams in all of baseball, by the way. As far as the season, the Brewers have 18 overs to 11 unders. That actually leads the big leagues. Meanwhile, Freddie Peralta, he was pretty darn solid in this one, gives up 2 runs over the course of 5 1/3 innings, including home run to Jose Siri. Siri, how many home runs is that for him? 2 thus far this season. And we also did have Manuel Rodriguez lend a scoreless inning for the Rays. And the Brewers bullpen was pretty solid in this one. Elvis Piguero, Atlanta Avenger Uribe, combined for 2 scoreless innings. Hobie Miller gives you a pair of outs out of the bullpen. And Thygo Vieira, he was able to give you a scoreless inning as well. Out in Detroit, we had a double dip. And for St. Louis, they get a win by a count of 2-1, despite the fact that Captain Jack Flaherty was absolutely dealing. He was pulled after 93 pitches with 14 strikeouts. He had given up 2 hits. He legitimately had a shot at 20 strikeouts in this game. They pull him, and then from there, Jason Foley, Andrew Chafin, they both give you a pair of outs out of the bullpen scoreless, and then Shelby Miller, he gives up two runs in the ninth inning, while Riley Green was the lone form of offense for the Detroit Tigers. He gets home run number six of the campaign off of Kyle Gibson, who was very good in this one. Seven innings, allows a home run. Matthew Liberatore, Ryan Helsley from there, they both land a scoreless inning, and then in game number two, it was an offensive explosion for the Detroit Tigers. 11-6, they're able to get it done against the Cardinals. Cardinals put up a five spot in the fifth. It looked like the Tigers were going to yak away the first five, but then they were able to get it all back as they had a trio of home runs in this one. Going deep for Detroit, you had two home runs for home runs number two and three of the campaign from Wencil Perez. He was able to go deep off of both Steven Matz along with Ryan Fernandez, and then Giovanni Gallegos gives one up to Riley Green. His second of the day and his seventh of the campaign for Fernandez gives up that home run in one and a third innings. A pair of runs given up in one and two-thirds innings over by Kyle Leahy, but starter and Steven Matz, he got destroyed in this one. Four runs surrendered in three and a third innings from there. Giovanni Gallegos does not get an out of the bullpen. He lost four runs, all of which were earned before you had two scoreless innings turned by Nick Robertson. And for the St. Louis Cardinals, pair of home runs of their own as Tyler Holton gives one up to Alec Burleson, his second of the campaign. Meanwhile, Brandon Donovan has started the season that comes off of one. Matt Manning did not look like Peyton in this one. Gives up four runs in four and two-thirds innings. Tyler Holton gives up a solo run in his inning of work. Alex Fajardo does allow a run in two innings of work before Alex Lang gets the final four outs of the game scoreless. As for the St. Louis Cardinals, they've been one of your better under teams thus far this season. 10 overs, 18 unders, and two pushes, but not as good as the Seattle Mariners. The Mariners are now having an under rate of north of 75.5%. 3-2, they pull it off against the Atlanta Braves. For the Braves, they had a relatively solid start here from Reynaldo Lopez, who gives up three runs over the course of five innings. He did allow a home run to Ore Polanco, his fourth home run in the campaign. From there, Jesse Chavez, two scoreless innings. Aaron Bummer, not a bummer. He is able to supply a scoreless inning, but for Seattle, they have given up, I believe, now 17 earned runs in their last 17 starts between their starters. Luis Castillo, seven scoreless in this one. Ryan Sandin does give up two runs in a third of an inning, but Andres Munoz, five out save. He's able to close the door, and the Seattle Mariners are all of a sudden 17-13, and the Cleveland Guardians, they've been an interesting team all season long, and they've been one of your better over teams this season. They clawed their way back from an 8-3 hole, but they're unable to pull it off in the end. The Astros, they've now won three straight, 10-9. The Astros get it done, as for Carlos Cookie Carrasco, he looks to be completely washed. Eight runs surrendered in four innings, including a pair of home runs. You had Jonathan Singleton get a second home run this season. Meanwhile, Alex Bregman gets his first, as Victor Caratini, he had a walk-off home run off of Hunter Gaddis, his second of the campaign for Gaddis. Gives up two runs, one of which was earned in that 10th inning. But that's Carrasco. This bullpen was relatively solid for the Guardians. You had Scott Barlow's, Tim Aaron, both give you a pair of outs out of the bullpen scoreless. Nick Sandlin, five outs out of the bullpen scoreless. Cade Smith, Emmanuel Clase, both turn a scoreless setting. And for the Guardians, they were able to get a trio of home runs in this one. You had Andres Jimenez go deep off of Hunter Brown, his first home run season. Brown gives one up to Josh Taylor, his seventh home run season. And Estevan Florel off of Rafael Montero, his third home run season, as Montero was more like Montero Bull. Gives up two runs, including that home run in two-thirds of an inning. And Hunter Brown just continues to be a fade. He gives up six runs in five and a third innings. From there, Brian Abreu, Ryan Presley, they both earn a scoreless inning. Josh Hader pitches the ninth and tenth inning, allowing an unearned run along the way. The White Sox have now covered five straight run lines, ladies and gentlemen, though they do lose once again to the Minnesota Twins. 6-5, the final. And this one, as for the Minnesota Twins, Simeon Woods Richards was not long for this game. He gives up two runs, one of which was earned in three and two-thirds innings. Did have Cody Funderburk give up two runs in two innings, and Cole Sands, he pounds Sands as he gives up a home run, solo home run in a third of an inning as the White Sox had a pair of bombs in this one. Andrew Benintendi off of Sands' third home run season. Daniel Mendick off of Funderburk his first, but Mike Soroka, not long for this game either. He allows two runs in four and a third innings. From there, Tanner Banks allows a run in two-thirds of an inning. Jordan Leisure, he leisurely gives up two runs in a third of an inning, though. You had Dominic Leon, Stephen Wilson both provide a scoreless inning, and you had an out-of-the-bullpen scoreless out of Prelander Baroa before you had Michael Kopech give up a run in his inning of work. So he takes the LM for the Minnesota Twins. You're able to have Yoan Duran come back in the fold. He was able to end a scoreless inning to get his first save of the season. Meanwhile, you also had Jay Jackson and Caleb Theobar combined for two scoreless innings as the Twins, 6-13 with men in scoring position, to be able to get that one done. Rangers have not been as great on offense as far this season as they were a season ago. They've actually been a halfway decent team to the under thus far, but they get some offense going against the Washington Nationals. 7-1 the final as Mackenzie Gore allows two runs over the course of five innings before the bullpen really had things go out of sorts. Jacob Barnes, Jordan Weems both allow a run in an inning of work to Hayner Rainey. Gives up three runs in an inning, including a home run. Going deep for Texas, you had Leody Taveras go deep off of Rainey for his first home run season. Then Weems allows a home run to Joe Smith, his second home run season, while John Gray was very solid. Only three strikeouts, but lost one run in eight innings before you had a scoreless inning in the ninth inning out of Cole Wynn to be able to salt that one away as Washington just not able to do anything at the plate. And the New York Yankees, much to the delight of the DK Network, right a pick. Not able to do a lot at the plate. The Baltimore Orioles get the 4-2 win. Baltimore has been one of your best over teams in all of baseball this season, but Dean Kramer held down the fort. He gives up two solo runs over the course of his seven innings of work. Jorge Soler's eighth home run season. Austin Wells is first. And for Nestor Cortes, he didn't pitch horribly in this one, but he does allow four runs in six innings. A lot of, shall we say, softly hit balls that just found the right spot. Luke Weaver from there, two scoreless innings. But for Baltimore, they go 4-10 with men in scoring position. Meanwhile, the New York Yankees, they went 0-1 with men in scoring position. That turned out to be a big difference in this one. The Colorado Rockies got up 5-0 on the Miami Marlins and managed to lose by a count of 7-6 for Colorado. Ryan Felder, with actually a relatively solid start in this one, gives up three runs over the course of eight innings. But for the Miami Marlins, this team was down 5-0 going into the ninth inning. They tried to have Ryan Feltner pull off the complete game. He gives it up, and then you had the bullpen from there not do their job. Justin Lawrence, two runs surrendered in a third of an inning. Jalen Beeks, he gives up two runs, one of which was earned in his inning of work. And for the Colorado Rockies, you had Elias Montero get his second home run season. That comes off of Sixto Sanchez, who he's not looking great right now. Five runs surrendered in four innings. Bullpen from there did their part, though. In the 10th inning, Tanner Scott lost an unearned run in that inning of work, but yeah, Birch Smith, Anthony Bender, Erasmo Ramirez all lined a scoreless inning, and Declan Cronin was able to give you two scoreless innings as well. The Kansas City Royals take it to the Toronto Blue Jays by a count of 4-1, as for Jose Barrios, he gives up just two runs over the course of seven innings. Pitched well, he gave up a home run along the way to Michael Massey, his first home run of the season, but deserved much better. But Cole Reagans on the flip side, he was better. Nine punchouts, 6 2/3 innings, allows just one run. James MacArthur is scoreless inning to get the save. John Schreiber, four outs out of the bullpen, scoreless inning for the Blue Jays. They just can't get out of their own way on offense, and they have played 19 unders to 12 overs as far this season, so has been a little bit of rough sledding there for the Blue Jays. You also had Eric Swanson give up two runs in 2/3 of an inning before you had Genesis Cabrera give you an out of the bullpen, and Zach Pop, he made things pop with a scoreless inning of his own. The New York Metropolitans were able to take down the Chicago Cubs, this by a count of 4-2, as for the Cubs, not a lot doing at the plate. You had a very nice performance here from Sean Manea, giving up just one run over the course of five innings. Did walk four, so that forced him out early, but that said, you had Jorge Lopez give up a run in an inning, but Adam Ottavino, Reed Garrett, Sean Reed Foley all supply a scoreless inning, and DJ Turnitup Stewart goes deep off of Adbear Alzolay. His fourth home run season as Aviad Assad. Not a lot of length, but relatively solid performance. Gives up one run in five innings. Yanked after 78 pitches. You have to question that as Adbear Alzolay gives up three unearned runs. Hurt by a pair of errors out there in the field while Colton Brewer was able to give you two scoreless innings. But the Mets, they find a way to persevere and they find a way to be able to get the job done. As does the Oakland A's. Back-to-back money line winners for them as they take down the Pittsburgh Pirates by a count of 5-2. And with the A's being 14-17, if you back them on the money line in every game this far this season, you've actually made yourself some nice coin. As for the Buccos, Mitch Keller did not have it in this one. Three runs surrendered in five innings, including a home run given up to J.J. Blade A, his second home run campaign, and then Blade A goes deep off of Josh Fleming for his serve. Fleming gives up two runs over the course of two innings. Luis Ortiz, a scoreless inning, and lone form of offense here for Pittsburgh was Connor Joe in the first inning. He was able to get a home run off of Alex Wood. His third home run season as for Alex Wood. He gives up two runs over the course of four innings, including that home run, but the bullpen at his back. Lucas Erzsage, Mason Miller, they both supply a scoreless inning. And Mitch Spence, three scoreless innings to be able to get the A's to the window. And the San Diego Padres find their way to the window as well. 6-4, they're able to take down the Cincinnati Reds for the Redlegs. Pair of home runs in this one. Stuart Fairchild, his first home run in the campaign off of Aniel De Los Santos. De Los Santos also gives one up to Jamer Candelario, his third of the season as Yu Darvish. First start back off the injured list, goes just 70 pitches, but five scoreless from there. Adrian Morahone, along with De Los Santos, both give up two runs while getting two outs out of the bullpen for De Los Santos. He gives up a pair of home runs along the way, but Yuki Matsui, five outs out of the bullpen scoreless. Robert Suarez, 10th save of the season. He's able to supply Elias scoreless inning, as you know, for the Padres. Suarez with 10 saves, and they've got 15 wins, so it's been very good on that front. And for the Padres, they win this game despite going just 2 of 16 with men in scoring position, as Nick Martinez just allowed a lot of contact in general. 5 runs, 3 of which were earned, given up in 5 minutes, hurt by a pair of errors, including Luke Maley having a catcher's interference. You had Buck Farmer from there give up a run in an inning, but you had Sam Moll, Emilio Pagan, both supply 8 scoreless inning along the way as well. And you saw the Philadelphia Phillies take advantage of the Mike Troutless LA Angels, and the Angels are going to be without them for perhaps the rest of the year. 7-5 the final. Not great for the Angels, though. They still put up 5 runs in this one. They still got a pair of home runs. Zach Neto, Luis Ranifo both get their second home run of the season. For Neto, goes deep off of Spencer Turnbull. Gave up just 2 runs, one of which was earned over the course of his 5 1/3 innings. And then bullpen makes a mess of it. Junior Marte of the Marte Parte gives up the other home run. 3 runs, 2 of which earned in 2/3 of an inning. But Matt Strom, Jose Alvarado, Jeff Hoffman, they put out the fire. They're able to all lend a scoreless inning in for the Philadelphia Phillies. He had a trio of home runs. Johan Rojas, who is known a little bit more for his glove, he provides a 2-out homer to put him up for good. His first of the campaign. Kyle Schwarber goes deep off of Tyler Anderson, his 8th home run season. And Nick Castellanos, his second home run season off of Carlos Estevez. As for the LA Angels, they went into the 9th inning with a lead. Estevez has been solid as a closer. 3 runs in 2/3 of an inning allowed, including those 2 home runs. Tyler Anderson gives up 3 runs in 6 innings, including a bomb of his own. But Luis Garcia, scoreless inning. Matt Moore, 2/3 of an inning scoreless, along with Amir Garrett. Yes, that Amir Garrett for the LA Angels. So their misery just continues out there in Los Angeles. And the misery for the San Francisco Giants was real. 4-0, they get shut out by the Boston Red Sox. As Cooper Criswell was very good for the Red Sox. 5 scoreless innings. From there, you have Greg Reiser, Brandon Bernardino, piecemeal together 2 scoreless innings. Zach Kelly, Justin Slayton, they both supply 8 scoreless innings as well. And for San Francisco, Logan Webb got touched up early in this one. 3 2/3 innings. He lost 9 hits, 3 walks, 4 runs. Bullpen from there honestly wasn't bad. Landon Roth, 2 innings scoreless. You had Sean Hegele give you 4 outs out of the bullpen scoreless. And then Taylor Rogers, he's able to give you a scoreless inning as well. So that's been a little bit less than savory for them. But what is always savory is taking a look at what we're getting trend-wise in Major League Baseball. And as of right now, it's been very much a, shall we say, under-season out there in Major League Baseball. As over the last 7 days especially, we've been seeing a lot of unders. 48 unders, 39 overs, and a few pushes along the way. And the underdogs, they have been a bargain. Favorites just 51 and 41 on the money line in the last 7 days. And if you're looking at the season overall, favorites hitting at just 57.9% on the money line, 257 and 187. Meanwhile, if you're looking at the total front, 225 unders to 205 overs with the LA Dodgers game pending. So 52.3% of games right now trending under. So that's what we're seeing in baseball right now, and that's what we all got on Tuesday. Now let's take a look at Wednesday. And yes run, no run first inning props with our good friend Jared Smith, who does amazing work here at VSiN. That's up next right here on the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
Herbert back here, lovely Las Vegas, for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. Always great to be joined by this man, as Jared Smith. He does such excellent work here at the network, but on top of that, I know that you're able to catch him on Bally Sports. I know that he does an amazing job when it comes to his work over on Fox Sports Radio on the weekends as well. You're able to find him a little bit of everywhere doing yerfy-nerfy work, a little bit of general baseball. He's been great on the NBA front and so much more. And you're able to catch him on Twitter/X at Jared Lee Smith altogether. And Jared, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Greg.
Thank you for joining me, Jared. And Jared, now we finally have about a month or so of data for some of these teams, a little bit more slash less than 30 games. And just on what you've unearthed and what you've been able to notice thus far, what have been some of the things that you have taken a look at in terms of yes run, no run first inning market, and what's been hot slash cold for you?
Well, I think the new thing I've been betting this first inning pitches, I think, has been intriguing. I think what I'm learning so far is right now we're still in that phase where the pitchers are a little bit ahead of the hitters, although the run scoring rate in the first inning is starting to go up. Still sitting at about less than 30% right now. So actually, it has spiked, I would say, over the last week or so. I think as these lineups continue to evolve, we're starting to see, you know, even teams send down some of their best players, like even Houston sent down Jose Abreu. So a lot of these lineups are still kind of figuring out what the best system is, and the managers, especially at the top with some of these really good teams, moving guys down who are struggling. For example, did we ever expect after the year Corbin Carroll had last year, he'd be hitting eighth now for Arizona? So again, these are just little tweaks that we don't know going into the year how things are going to start. We expect Corbin Carroll to be a top of the lineup production guy. Jose Abreu, former MVP, top of the lineup production guy. And now we've had a month to say, all right, well, that's not who they are anymore. And now the teams have adjusted. We need to make our adjustments accordingly.
Absolutely. I do think that it is so interesting to just take a look at some of these inept offenses, because typically they've been coupled with teams that give up a lot of runs in the first inning. Like, I know you've taken a look at the Colorado Rockies quite a bit, and how are you playing them? Because this team has been getting bagged in the first inning time and time again, but if you take the no-run first inning in a lot of those games, you're going to lose because the pitching staff gives up a lot of runs in the first inning.
It actually gives you a unique advantage. You know, BetMGM, I know a lot of other books do this, where you can bet the individual teams yes or no to score in the first inning. I think on the no side, it's more intriguing from a parlay, a couple of them together, and create a custom nerfy. I've seen some very sharp people that specialize in the first inning market do that before. But the easier way to play it is just to find the pitchers who stink and to bet on those respective top or bottom of the first inning runs to be scored. Usually you get about plus 180. For some of those games. Now, obviously, if it's at Coors Field, might be a little bit lower than that, maybe plus 150, but you're always getting significant plus money because it's basically just the derivative of the nerfy, which is for the most part minus 110 proposition most nights when the total's sitting around 9.
Yep, absolutely. And I do think that that's such a good way of being able to take a look at it, because I don't think that books have necessarily been, shall we say, able to catch up to how much a team does slash does not score in the first inning. They treat every single inning as the same, which, like you were talking about, that boiler total of about 9, you pretty much are given the same odds to be able to score in the first inning as the second inning, as the third inning. And being able to take a look at these splits, how much of an advantage do you think that it does give you? Because there are some top lineups that, I mean, all the runs come from the top, and then there are some top of the lineups, like we're talking about right now with the Colorado Rockies, where, well, they're not really a whole heck of a lot better than hitters 7 through 9.
I think the Yankees are the best example of that. You're seeing the game totals in Yankees games start to suffer because of it. Like, their lineup's not as deep as it's been in prior years, but 1 through 4 is about as good as it's going to get. That's a tough thing to do for a sports book. To be able to make a manual adjustment on that is almost impossible. So what that tells me most nights is the Yerfy for the Yankees is a pretty decent bet. For example, tonight at Camden Yards, the total of the game was 9. Circa was dealing even odds for the Yerfy. This is the Yankees and the Orioles. I would argue the two best top of the lineups in baseball, and you're getting a coin flipped proposition. Now, of course, the reason why the Yerfy price was what it was because the game total was relatively low. It was like 8.5, kind of juice to the over, 9 juice to the under. But to me, you look at a team like New York and Baltimore, the bottom of those lineups is not the same. So to price the Yerfy kind of in line with what the total is and just take a derivative of that, like, that's not correct. Like, you have to overcook the Yerfy because of just how much better the tops of those lineups are. But again, that's something the sports books don't do, because they just take the Yerfy price, they chop it up in 9, and it's a derivative of the first inning. Maybe there's a little bit of an edge, but I don't think as much is baked into that as needs to be, considering just how much better. I mean, you go look at the bottom of the Yankees lineup, it is basically AAA guys. So to me, I think you look at the top and you've got to really overbake that chip.
Yeah, Austin Wells is not necessarily beginning the job.
And Oswaldo Cabrera and even Volpe, the leadoff guy, is not, you know, a guy that's going to hit 300 this year.
Yeah, and Trent Grisham, he had one really nice year with the Milwaukee Brewers, but ever since then, not so great. Though I will say 1 through 9 of the Baltimore Orioles has been quite impressive.
Like, yeah,
Cowser's your number 9 guy. Like, man, that is a team that does have quite a bit of balance. And how about if we do take a look at a little bit of the American League East, as Jared Smith, who does great work over here at Visa, is going to be right here on the Baseball Betting Show, because we do have the series between the Yankees and the Orioles. We are on the topic. It's going to be a very big game that we're going to be seeing on Wednesday as well, with right now Corbin Burns about a -155 favorite against Luis Gil and the Yankees. But how do you take a look at this division? Because right now the Orioles and the Yankees, clearly number 1 and number 2 in a division that I see the Tampa Bay Rays really fall off the pace. And I must say, I don't know if they're going to have staying power, but the Boston Red Sox have been impressing me a little bit, especially with their 11-5 record on the road.
The Rays are done. Once you get swept by the White Sox, that's it. You cannot get taken seriously as a team forever after that. And I know the season's really long. And you're like, Jerry, what are you talking about? They've only played 30 games. There is no coming back from getting swept by the White Sox. If you can't, and the reason I say that is, on the last day, if you know you're going into the series about to get swept by the White Sox, and you don't say, enough is enough, we're not taking it anymore, and you don't put a pounding on that team the third game, that shows me your intestinal fortitude is weak. So Tampa Bay, I would bet every under on Tampa Bay for the rest of the year. Obviously, this is a two-team race. Like, the Red Sox are a nice story, but this is a two-team race. I do think the Orioles are better. And the reason is because they can pitch. You know, last year they didn't have Corbin Burns. Now, granted, Corbin Burns hasn't been lights out, but Corbin Burns is still Corbin Burns. And I think what it does is it allows the rest of that rotation to not feel the pressure of being the ace. Like, let Corbin feel all that pressure. Let him carry the load. Guys like Kramer and Rodriguez and those guys, like, just coast through the year. Irvin, like, just do your job, eat up 5-6 innings. The bullpen's good enough to carry them, but really it's the offense that's going to carry them this year. I think that's why they're going to win 100 games and they're going to win that division. So Baltimore, to me, is a team that really no holes right now. You know, I'd love to see Felix Rodriguez come back. I mean, that takes them to a completely different level. But even if he doesn't, I still think Cano and the rest of that bullpen can figure out a way to get enough innings, because the rotation is much deeper this year.
Yeah, the rotation is much deeper. It looks like John Means, Kyle Bradish should be on their way back relatively soon as well. And that's going to make a world of difference for them. And no doubt that's going to be a great race to be able to take a look at. But just in terms of teams in general that you've seen, we're about a month through the season now. What about a few that have been surprises, whether that be to the positive or the negative? And I think I know a few teams to the negative, but want to get your thoughts here, because I do think that there have been quite a few pleasant and unpleasant surprises thus far this season.
When you look at St. Louis, I need more from them. Their offense especially. Like, we can't have them as one of the worst teams in baseball from a run scoring perspective. I understand their rotation is not what it used to be, but at the top of the lineup, there was no issues to me with that lineup this year, but they haven't scored enough runs. They're starting to pitch a little bit better, actually. So if St. Louis figures out their offense, I think that division is wide open. I mean, let's be honest, the Cubs are not going to run away with that thing. They've been fantastic at home this year. But I do think Chicago is due for a little bit of regression. You're already starting to see the chinks in the armor in Milwaukee. They got lit up by the Yankees over the weekend. And I think as they continue to stretch that rotation, the Brewers are going to fall. The Reds are right there. I honestly think the Reds and the Cardinals still are decent bets to win the Central if you can get good prices. I have a little more faith in St. Louis than most. But Cincinnati, like, going into San Diego and winning games, like winning games in tough locations, they're above 500 on the road to start the year, plus in the run scoring differential. So I think Cincinnati is a team that really showed you last year how explosive they can be. Now, if they can do some of the little things right, I think they've got enough talent. I mean, because again, that division to me, 500 might win that division this year. So I think the NL Central is going to be really interesting again down the stretch.
Yep, absolutely. And I do think that this Milwaukee Brewers lineup is doing for a little bit of regression, as Jared Smith, who does tremendous work over here at VSiN, is joining me on the Baseball Betting Show. But I mean, that's a team that I've had to adjust upon a little bit. Again, I don't think that the Brewers are going to be like some sort of a top five offense when it's all said and done this year, but I thought these young guys were going to stink on ice this year, and yeah, it's very clear that the likes of Blake Perkins, Bryce Terang, they have really taken some strides forward this season. And how do you gauge a team like the Brewers, where we had high expectations for the pitching, we had low expectations for the bats, and thus far the offense has been a pleasant surprise? Because I think that I'm in sort of a middle ground approach of not completely just buying all in on them, but at the same time, I think that it's fair to say we might have underrated them coming into the season.
Yeah, it's possible. Again, I let April kind of let sleeping dogs lie a little bit, and it's actually ironic that today's the last day of April. I saw Gil Alexander's got a big ticket on the Cleveland Guardians to have the most wins. That's another team I would say that surprised me this month. The Central divisions are like baked in mediocrity. So when you have mediocre teams and one of them starts really hot, it's like gravity. Like, you just expect it to come down at some point. So while I am very impressed with what Milwaukee has done, I would absolutely expect the regression to come at some point. We'll see what Fangraph says midseason. That's around the time when I look at the win totals and say, okay, this team's really overachieved. Now the second half is when things, I think, start to turn. But I'll be honest, I look at Milwaukee now after through the first 30 games, and I look at them scoring 142 runs, and I'm just like, there's no way that's sustainable with the guys in that lineup. I look to fade those teams if I can, but I'll be honest, the full game stuff doesn't interest me as much anymore, Greg. I'm so invested in the first inning. It's hard sometimes to see the forest through the trees when I'm trying to handicap full teams and full games and full wins. But when I look at Milwaukee's lineup, I rarely put them in the Yerfy category, and that tells me the top of the lineup's not very good.
William Contreras has been really good, but to your point, they're also dealing with that injury to Christian Yelich, and
yeah,
when you don't have Christian Yelich in the 1-3 spots, that does make things a little bit
more. Hoskins, your cleanup guy, is tough for me to get behind.
He's actually been able to have a nice little resurgence this year, but yeah, he's a little bit of an all or nothing hitter as well, which I mean, that's just the Phillies model 101. You look at what Kyle Schwarber has been able to do this season.
Yeah.
Lots of home runs and lots of strikeouts. So that always makes things a lot of fun. And how about if we do take a little bit of a look at Wednesday? Now, we are doing this without your fee, Nerfy prices as of right now. But is there anything that you are going to be eyeing for Wednesday, whether that be perhaps a bet that you're going to be looking to place, or maybe there's just a team or a pitcher that you're a little bit jury's out on and you want to see a little bit more from them?
This Atlanta-Seattle series has been really good. Hancock and Sale, that's a fun matchup tomorrow in the afternoon. The one thing we like with day baseball, and I know you love day baseball, Greg, but it always flips the card for Nerfies to me, because especially like this San Diego game that's going to start at 1:10 local time in San Diego, like, what's the shadow situation going to be like? Anytime you're dealing with day games in the West Coast especially, you always get weird shadows. Phillies and Angels, same thing too. That's actually a decent pitching matchup as well. Nah, Sandoval hasn't been that great this year. The Nerfy in Seattle, Atlanta has been profitable for me this week. I think I'll probably take a good look at that. Ashcraft, Musgrove in San Diego, that's kind of gas can city. That might be a Yerfy game. And then our guy Corbin Burns pitches for the Orioles. I mean, listen, the way this game started for the Yankees and the way last night went, I bet the Yerfy. I bet a lot of overs in the game because I'm like, the Yankees got shut out. That's not going to happen 2 days in a row. Kramer looks fantastic, and so does Cortez. So we're looking at an incredibly low-scoring start to this Yankees-Orioles series after, what, two runs? So eventually, I think the offenses in that series will get going. maybe tomorrow you'll get a depressed total with Burns and Hill on the mound. So maybe a Yerfi in that series on getaway day might be make sense.
And how much do you sort of play that zigzag theory? Because I do look at that in terms of this Mets versus Cubs series as well. With the Mets, for last few days, they've went like one of 100 million billion with men in scoring position. And you look at that situation, I know that the Mets are hot and cold, but it's like, man, if you just keep getting these opportunities, eventually they're going to be able to cash in.
Agreed. We're at that point now with baseball where if there's something that is incredibly outlier to one side, against the grain, we're getting close to the point where you should really start to consider the other side. Like a month of something really unique in baseball is a long time. The zigzag theory, I think for me, works better with Nerfy Yerfies than it does with overall, because I just think it's almost like a feel, like this isn't very scientific, but it's almost like a feel thing. Like with Seattle and Atlanta last night, you're thinking to yourself, well, wait a minute, Atlanta's lineup is unbelievable. You really want to lay 35 cents on a Nerfy with them? And yeah, the feeling was new ballpark. I mean, how many times does Ronald Acuna go to Seattle and play a baseball game? Like, it's your first time through a lineup in a basically brand new ballpark, and you're facing a pitcher you've never really seen before in Bryce Miller. Like, that matters to me more than, oh, the Braves lineup's really good. Kind of a feel thing in that regard. So you just take it day by day, and you just let some of those situations come to you. But last night in Atlanta was like the ideal. This is a perfect Nerfy. Atlanta's a Yerfy team. I mean, you know, Riley and Acuna and those guys at the top. But last night, they were the perfect Nerfy team because of the situation.
Yep, they were pretty perfect. And what is always perfect as well is getting you aboard, Jared. You do such amazing work here at VSiN. I know you're doing a great job with Live Online, Fox Sports Radio, and so much more. So love to get people at home. Know it's all on tap for you and how people are able to follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, every Saturday morning, Fox Sports Radio. It's an absolute blast. I do that show with a couple of guys that are just total degenerate when it comes to gambling, and then they know their stuff. And in Live on the Line, too, been doing a lot of work for them this summer, and that'll continue. I'll actually be in Chicago in a couple weeks in studio, and you can watch that show noon Eastern, 9 Pacific on your Bally Sports or your local stadium feeds. It's also on Yes Network. Any of you guys that are on the East Coast there in New York City area, turn on Yes Network every day at noon. You'll see my shining face giving out bets.
Absolutely. Get some good Chicago beer while you're out there as well. Some Phase 3, some Revolution, great breweries out there. And it's always great to get something brewed up with Jared Smith, as he does such great work here at VSiN, and he knows his stuff when it comes to Yerfy, Nerfy, when it comes to this great game of baseball, and always great to be able to get his insights. So big thanks to Jared for joining me on the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the VSiN family podcast. Coming up next, it is that time of the podcast. They give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Wednesday as we catch them all.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a lot happening these days. But I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters, without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. It is always great to be able to get Jared Smith aboard. He does such great work here at the network. He is our Yerfy-Nerfy expert. On top of that, I know that he does an absolutely excellent job just taking a look at so many different markets, everything from baseball, the NBA. I know that he's very enveloped into what we're going to be getting on the gridiron this year as well, so always appreciate Jared hopping aboard. Big thanks to him for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast to give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Wednesday as we touch them all.
If a game is listed on the betting board, Greg has a side and a total on it, so it is time to touch them all.
Do note that, as per usual, any changes that are made to these plays will be listed up on my Twitter /X feed at @GNN_41. We are going to be going in the Las Vegas rotation order. This is where we go with the National League games first, then the American League games, and any interleague games. Those are going to be at the bottom. That'll keep things all nice, neat, clean, and easy. So, without further ado, let's dive in on this first game of 901-902 on the betting board. You've got the Cincinnati Reds. Yes, we are on to Cincinnati. They're onto the road. They're facing off against the San Diego Padres as Joe Musgrove goes for the Pods and Graham Ashcraft goes for the Reds. Reds find themselves as between plus 120 to plus 122 underdogs, between minus 130 to minus 132, seeing straight minus 128. That's your number on the Pods. 8 to 8.5 is the total. On the NF, under is between minus 110 to minus 120. Over is between even to minus 110. On the 8, the over is minus 120. And the under is even. Semi-total at 8.2 in. I'd rather have an 8 over rather than an 8.5 under, as Joe Musgrove has just not been in great form this far this season. I think that he's going to round into form at some point. We saw him get off to a rough start last season, then be able to pick it up. This one is lingering longer than what we saw a season ago, though, but for Joe Musgrove, 3-plus runs surrendered in each out of his last 4 starts. He gave up 4 home runs in that start against the Philadelphia Phillies, and he's got a 6.94 ERA with a fielding independent that, quite frankly, is right on par with that, and a 6.59, and even though his walks per nine rate is 3.3, it's actually much worse than that because he's had 6 hit by pitches, which that scored differently than walks. Back when I was a kid, I used to score hit by pitch is the same as walks. I don't understand why baseball doesn't do that. That's a discussion for another show on another day, though, but that said, it's been a less than savory start to the season for him. And then for Graham Ashcraft, he's actually looked relatively good thus far this season. He's got a 4.40 ERA. He has given up the deep ball a little bit, but his strikeout numbers are way up. For Graham Ashcraft, for his 2 years in the league, he was getting fewer than 7 punch-outs per 9 innings. He's been able to give you more like 8 strikeouts per 9 innings thus far this season. I do see a little bit of wobbliness in his game, though. His fielding independent is pretty much on par with the 4.40 ERA. He has given up about a home run and a half per 9 innings, but I do think that the Padres are going to be able to get online with their bats. It's been a little bit up and down for them over the first month plus of the season. As Fernando Tatis Jr., he's been able to supply quite a bit of boom. He's given you 5 plus home runs. He's had a little bit of a tough time moving the line recently, but Manny Machado, who's been a little bit in and out of the fold, he's been able to come back. He had himself a nice day yesterday with 3 plus RBI, and you've got guys that in general, they're just finding a way to be able to get on base. Jose Azucar, Jurickson Profar, Jake Cronenworth, Luis Capusano, owing at least a 265. They do a solid job drawing walks. They're actually in the top 3 in the big leagues with regards to walks drawn on a per at-bat basis last season, with having Jackson Merrill do a solid job on that front as well. And for the Cincinnati Reds, it's just a really top-heavy lineup. If you look at the lineup that they trotted out there yesterday, they only had 3 guys in the lineup that left the game with a batting average above a 215, and 2 guys with a batting average above a 230. Ellie De La Cruz, Spencer Cyr. With De La Cruz, he's been incredible this year. 8 plus home runs, he's been able to give you a 385 on base. Cyr has been a little bit hot and cold, but he's able to give you about a 365 on base. And I do recognize that they weren't playing their 8 plus lineup yesterday, but that said, Santiago Espinal, Stuart Fairchild, Jameer Candelario, Will Benson, hitting a 215 or lower, that's an issue. But with the Reds, what I do like about this team, their bullpen has been pretty solid. Sam Moles now back in the fold, he's been able to do a nice job. Fernando Cruz, he 2 seasons ago had a sub 2 ERA. It's looking like that guy once again this season. Brent Suter had a little bit of rough go in Texas, but all in all, I like his game. And for the San Diego Padres, they made some nice offseason acquisitions, bringing in Wandy Peralta, Aniel De Los Santos, Yuki Matsui. These are all guys who are doing a solid job in the bullpen. We've had Robert Suarez do a solid job as a closer as well. He's actually looked better than Josh Hader this far this season, but do have some question marks with regards to this Reds lineup, though. I do think that Joe Musgrove, he's going to be somewhere in the middle of what we've seen here in the beginning part of the season, and vintage Joe Musgrove, I think that it improves, doesn't improve all the way, and I do think that Graham Ashcraft leaves himself a little bit vulnerable, and this is a daytime game out there in San Diego. Ball flies a little bit better than during the nighttime, so here at the 8 that I'm seeing, I'm going to be taking a look at the over, and for the Padres, to set them at a minus 148, I'm going to be taking them on the money line. 9-3, 9-4 on the betting board, the Colorado Rockies hit the road, they're facing off against the Miami Marlins. Roderi Munoz is on the bump for the Marlins. Dakota Hudson goes for the Rockies. These starters were not known until after the game on Tuesday, so I'm doing this as this game is off the board, but I've got my handicap. With the Marlins, I'm willing to lay up to a minus 128 with them, plus 130 or higher, taking a look at the Rockies, and set a total of an 8.1. So 8 or less, I'd like the over, 8.5 or higher. I'm going to be diving in on the under. You saw a harebrained game yesterday where the Colorado Rockies score 5 runs in the first inning, and then they make like your buddy at the bar, and they do not close, and they lose the game. For the Colorado Rockies, man, you've got some gas cans in this bullpen. You used up Justin Lawrence along Jalen Beeks yesterday, and Beeks has been, along with Victor Vodnik, like 2 of the only competent pitchers in this bullpen. Like, it has been a complete disaster class for the team. Anthony Molina has been absolutely terrible. Tyler Kinley has given you absolutely nothing whatsoever. Jake Bird has a 6 ERA, so these guys have been rough. And for the Miami Marlins, they're in the bottom 5 of the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA yesterday. They had to use up quite a few arms after they did not get the start that they were looking for themselves. So that said, you've been able to have a few guys step up for this team. Declan Cronin, Birch Smith are giving you a sub 4 ERA. You've been able to have Calvin Fauché be a relatively nice long guy, but again, you had to use up so much of that bullpen yesterday after Sixto Sanchez only won 4 innings that they're going to be taxed as well. But for the Miami Marlins, you do have Luis Arraez moving the line. He's giving you about a 350 on base, hitting about a 300. You just don't have a lot of power with this team. Jake Berger being out due to injury has been really hurting them, and you just expected a lot more on some of these guys like Josh Bell, Emmanuel Rivera, Christian Bethencourt, Tim Anderson, all hitting a 230 or lower. And in the case of Bethencourt, he's hitting a 030. Like, I remember the Miami Marlins GM, the dude with the nerdy glasses, talking about the track record of success. Like, what are we doing here? And then for the Colorado Rockies, they must be run by the same dude because, man, they have absolutely no power in their lineup whatsoever. You've had a lot of struggles. So you do have a few guys who are able to move the line. Elias Diaz, Brenton Doyle, Ryan McMahon. These are guys sitting north of a 290, but as we know, the Rockies, typically they hit about 40 points lower away from home rather than at home with regards to their average. You've had a lot of guys just not be able to live up to their billing. As now Brandon Rogers, who's giving you about a 285 on base, Elias Montero, he went deep yesterday. He's hitting around the same, but you've currently got Chris Bryant on the injured list, so wasn't doing anything to start with. And for Odairy Munoz, in his first start, he was able to be able to fill a few innings. He's got a 3.60 ERA after it. It's not overly terrible. I think that he's got a little bit of upside for the Miami Marlins in comparison to a lot of these guys. Like, I mean, when they were starting AJ Puck, that was just a complete and utter calamity. I think that Munoz has a little bit more upside there. When he was in the minor leagues for the Braves and the Washington Nationals last year, did post up north of a 5 ERA, but he was able to at the very least give you a few strikeouts. Now, I will say, in the minor leagues this season, he's giving out 8 walks per 9 innings, so that is a concern. But Dakota Hudson, I mean, last year he had like 5 strikeouts and 4 walks per 9 innings as well. He does nothing but try to induce ground balls, and it's just a crying shame there. So you've got 2 offenses that stink. You got 2 starting pitchers I have absolutely no confidence in whatsoever. They're both not necessarily the world's greatest at being able to conserve pitches. So, I mean, it's an interesting spot. Plus 130 or higher, I'm going to be looking at the Rockies. Minus 128 or less, looking at the Fish. And then an 8 or less, I'd like the over. 8.5 or higher, we're going to be diving in on the under. Now we have my DK Network right to pick. 905, 906 on the betting board. The Chicago Cubs hit the road, the facing off against the New York Mets. Jose Buto is on the bump for the Mets. Shota Imanaga is on the bump for the Cubs. And the Cubs do find themselves anywhere between minus 116 to minus 125 favorites. And between plus 105 to plus 110 is that number on the Mets. 7 is the total. The over is between minus 120 to a minus 125. Under is any between even and plus 105. And starting to see some 7s pop up with more around even money juice on the over. My write-up is going to be on the over. Whether you've got a 7 or a 7.5, I do think that you're going to be able to get some runs in this one, as it's a New York Mets team that they're right around league average with regards to runs per game, but they're a top 10 team with regards to the deep ball. Fully recognize that Citi Field is very much a pitcher's park, and Shota Imanaga. And you want to talk about a guy that has announced himself in his first 5 career starts at the big league level. He's given up just 3 runs and 3 walks in 27 and a third innings. And we'll say he has given up 2 home runs in that time span as well. And he's not gone up against the world's greatest competition, though. One of those is against the LA Dodgers. He also went up against the Boston Red Sox. He also got the Colorado Rockies at home as well. So it's been a little bit up and down, but all in all, he has been absolutely amazing. Meanwhile, for Jose Buto, there's signs of regression here with him. He's got a 2.86 ERA, but fielding independent is a little bit north of 4. He's given up just 2 home runs in 22 innings, but I'm concerned about the 12 walks in his 22 innings. Last 2 starts, he's had a combined 8 walks over the course of 10 innings and has given up 6 runs in those 2 starts. So that is something that just jumped out to me a little bit. Now, he goes up against a Chicago Cubs lineup that is fully not at 100%. You've got C.A. Suzuki along Cody Bellinger, currently deal with injuries on the injured list, but I do like the way that some of these young guys have been able to step up for the Cubs, as you've got a young upside guy in Pete Crow Armstrong. I think that he's like 22 or 23 years old. He's been able to deliver some good at-bats. Miguel Amaya at the catcher spot was relatively solid last year, as he, Nick Madrigal, along with Ian Happ, Christopher Morel. These have been guys who have really struggled thus far this season. I think that they're going to be able to rise up. Michael Bush, he had that streak of 5 home runs in 5 games about a week and a half ago, so there's clearly some pop in the bat. And going into yesterday, the Cubs were a top 8 team in the big leagues with regards to runs per game, averaging about 5.1 runs per contest. And for the Mets, they've been able to really right the ship in terms of their offense. If you look at the Baseball Savant numbers, they've been one of the most unlucky teams with regards to their batting average all season long, as you've got Pete Alonso, who's been able to supply 8 home runs, giving you about a 325 on base. Brandon Nimmo's only hitting a 208. He, Francisco Lindor, both hitting below a 210 along DJ Stewart. You got to expect these guys to be able to pick it up, but he's still been able to give you about a 360 on base. And then you've got guys like Jeff McNeil, Brett Beatty, Harrison Bader. These are guys that are earning above a 245, finding a way to be able to move the line. Now, for the Mets, bullpen has been much better this year than it was a season ago. Last year, they were about 22nd in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. Edwin Diaz blew a game a little bit earlier in the series, but there's no question he's been able to help out this bullpen so much. But now Brooks Raley being out of the fold, that does affect you a little bit. Chaminade didn't necessarily give you a lot of length, so they're going to be dealing with a few more tired arms. You've got Jake Diekman, you've got Reed Garrett, who's able to do a solid job. But if Buto racks up a lot of walks early, they don't have a lot of arms to be able to bank on. And for this Cubs bullpen, they have not been tremendous as well. You've got the Cubs bullpen that entered into the night on Tuesday, about 22nd in the big leagues with regards to ERA. Now, Mark Leiter Jr. has been tremendous with a sub-1 ERA, and they did have to use up Adbert Alzolay yesterday. He's been a little bit touch and go. Got a long guy, Daniel Palencia, who's not necessarily been the world's greatest. You've got Luke Little, who's really been regressing as well. So that's a bit of an issue. And I just, am going to be fading Shota Imanaga a little bit as well, because I think as more and more tape gets out on him, I do think that teams are going to be picking up his tendencies. I think that part of the reason why he's been so successful here to start out the year is that he comes over from the Nippon Baseball League out there in Japan, where nobody was able to see him. Now that they're getting more looks at him, I think that the runs are going to start to come, and my DK Network Rider pick is going to be on the over. I also did set the Mets as a -112 favorite, so getting a plus number on the Mets, going to be backing them on the money line, and my write-up, that is going to be on this total over. 907, 908 on the betting board. The Arizona Diamondbacks play OC LA Dodgers. Yoshinobu Yamamoto is on the bump for the Dodgers. Zach Allen is going to be going for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks are between a +115 to a +120 underdog. -125 to a -130 is your number on the LA Dodgers. 8.5 is the total. The over is between -115 to a -120. Under is between even a -105. I will say one note before I go any further. With Jordan Montgomery getting scratched on Tuesday, there's a possibility he might be going here. I'd probably set the Diamondbacks about 10 to 15 cents lower if it is Jordan Montgomery. That's a little bit of a wait and see. I would need to see him actually get the start there, but like I said, I do want to throw that in there before I go any further, but this is a circumstance where I'm going to be looking at the under. I did set my total at an 8.4. Zach Gallen is a guy that you want to back at home. You don't want to back him on the road. For Zach Gallen, since the beginning of the 2023 campaign, he's giving up less than a half a home run per nine innings. His ERA is a sub-275. He's able to give you north of nine strikeouts per nine innings. On the road, his ERA very nearly doubles. So it is very big that the start is out there in Arizona. And for Yamamoto, he's coming off of a really nice start against the Washington Nationals. And really, aside from that random start that he had out there in South Korea, he's been able to do a relatively solid job. If you take that one out of the fold, this guy's been able to do a nice job with 6 earned runs allowed in his last 5 starts. He's really not walking guys. 5 walks allowed in this time span. His strikeouts per 9 rate, he is north of 11. So both of these starters, and if you get Jordan Montgomery as well, him as well, these guys have been able to do a rock solid job. Now, you've got an Arizona Diamondbacks lineup that is in the top 5 of the big leagues with regards to runs per game, and this despite the fact that Corbin Carroll is giving you a big giant nothing burger this season. It's been all about Ketel Marte, Lourdes Gurriel, Christian Walker, all being able to supply 5 home runs. All 3 of these guys have done a solid job of being above a .260 with Marte along Christian Walker. Both of these guys have been able to supply an on-base percentage that's north of a .360. Meanwhile, for the LA Dodgers, this team has been able to do a very masterful job of going out there and being able to produce runs. Now, I will say this about the LA Dodgers. You do have a couple guys like Chris Taylor, James Outman, Gavin Lux at the bottom of the fold that have not hit, but 1-6 for this team has been just so amazing. And you've got a little bit of a young guy in Mr. Andy Pages who has been looking relatively good as well. But, I mean, Freddie Freeman, Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts, Will Smith all entered Indy yesterday with at least a .400 on base. Ohtani and Betts have been able to supply the boom with 6-plus home runs apiece. You've been able to have Teoscar Hernandez do a nice job hitting north of a .260. He's been able to supply 6-plus home runs as well, but both of these teams are league average to slightly below average in terms of their bullpen. For the Dodgers, I believe that they entered into yesterday 13th in the league in terms of bullpen ERA. Evan Phillips has been incredible for this team. That said, Joe Kelly has not been so incredible, and then you've got a lot of guys like Gus Farland, Alex Vesia, that they're not terrible, but they're really not guys that you want to be trusting too much in. And for the Arizona Diamondbacks, they decided to throw a bullpen game yesterday instead of starting Jordan Montgomery, which that really does diminish a bullpen that has now been with the injuries to Luis Frias. They are currently without Miguel Castro as well, so that's a little bit of an issue. They had Ben Jarvis as a little bit more of a bulk guy, who's someone that I like. Joe Mantiply has honestly been too amazing for this bullpen, and Scott McGill, man, he has been rough. Andrew Saul Frank last year was solid. He's off to a rough start this season, but like Ryan Thompson, what he's able to bring to the table, so it does make it a little bit of an interesting circumstance, because I do think that the Diamondbacks are going to be able to do an okay job of being able to get to Yamamoto, but that said, I would need at least a +117 to take a shot in the Diamondbacks. Right now I'm seeing a straight +120 out there. That'll be my buy point there, and you're at an 8.5 semi-total at an 8.4. I also like this total under. 909, 910 on the betting board. The Chicago White Sox play against the Minnesota Twins. Bailey Ober goes for the Twins, and Chris Flexen is on the bump for the White Sox. The White Sox are a pretty sizable underdog of anywhere between +162 to a +175. Meanwhile, anywhere between -190 to -198. That's your number on Minnesota. 8.5 is the total. Over is between -120 to a -125. The under is between even and +105. If you're looking to lay a run half with the Minnesota Twins, you're going to be laying -120 on that juice, and that's what I'm going to be looking at with the Twins. I'm going to lay up to a -128 there. Now, for the White Sox, they've actually covered the run line in each of their last 5 games. Part of that is just because the Tampa Bay Rays this year, they just don't have it, in my opinion. That's something that I've been trying to account for. And for Bailey Ober, he had that one just ghastly start against the Kansas City Royals. He gives up 8 runs. He doesn't even get 8 outs. Past that, he's actually been really good. You take that out of the fold, and he's got a sub-2 ERA, has really been able to get it rocking and rolling recently. recently with two earned runs, a fierce rider in each out of his last four starts. Does a relatively solid job of not giving up a lot of walks. His walks rate is about 2.5 walks per 9 innings while getting about 9 strikeouts per 9 innings. Biggest thing that has hurt him is the deep ball and gets to go up against the Chicago White Sox lineup that is currently dead last in the big leagues in terms of home runs. Now, I will say this. For the Chicago White Sox, you're at the very least seeing a pulse out of this offense. They have now been able to generate at least 3 runs in 6 out of their last 7 games. Quite a few of those coming against these very Minnesota Twins, as you've all of a sudden been able to get Tommy Pham going. He's hitting about 350, and he's become their best hitter. Thus far, Daniel Mendick has been able to move the line as well. You still do have guys, though, like Andrew Vaughn, Robbie Grossman, Nicky Lopez, Martin Maldonado. These are guys who are just absolutely terrible at the plate. Gavin Sheets has been relatively solid. He's been able to supply 3-plus home runs. He's given you about a 375 on base. But for the Twins, this has been a top-10 team in the big leagues with regards to being able to supply home runs. They could really, really use Royce Lewis in the fold right about now. But Edouard Julien, he's been able to give you 7 home runs. He's starting to get his on-base up to about a 330. Byron Buxton has been able to hit for a little bit of average. But, I mean, man, he just has not been able to give you any sort of power whatsoever. Then you've got the likes of Max Kepler, Carlos Correa, who comes back in the fold, Alex Kirilloff, and at least a 250 along with Willie Castro, and Correa coming back is big because prior to him going down with an injury, he was starting to look a little bit more like the Carlos Correa of old. I have to wonder what you're going to be able to get moving forward out of him, but also for the Minnesota Twins, they just have such a big leg up in terms of this bullpen for the Chicago White Sox. You've had Jordan Leisure, honestly, be halfway decent out there in the bullpen, and they're about 20th in the league in terms of bullpen area. I just don't really have a lot of faith in guys like Michael Kopech and company. Yesterday, they had to use up a lot of bullpen pieces with Mike Soroka unable to go 5 full innings, so this is a very taxed bullpen as well. Meanwhile, for the Minnesota Twins, you've been able to have guys like Brock Stewart, Cody Funderburk come in, be able to give you a sub-3 ERA. The Twins are number 3 in terms of bullpen ERA, even with Yoan Duran currently being on the fold. You get back Caleb Thierbach. It's going to take him a little bit of time to be able to get his bearings about him, but I do think that Bailey Obert is going to be able to go out there. It's going to be relatively dominant, and for the Chicago White Sox, Chris Flexen is just a big giant fade. He's got a 5.11 ERA. His fielding independent is even worse than that. He's given up 4 home runs at 24 and a third innings. His strikeouts per 9 rate is less than 6. His walks per 9 rate is right around about 3.5 to 4. There's just really nothing to like about Chris Flexen, and I do think that the Twins are able to get to him. That said, I'm going to be taking a look at the under just because I think that the White Sox could have a tough time catching up to Bailey Ober. So, somebody told 7.7, I like the under, and I think that the White Sox run line streak ends. I'm going to be one to lay run half with the Twins to go along the under. 9.11, 9.12 on the betting board. The Toronto Blue Jays play host the Kansas City Royals. Seth Lugo goes for the Royals and Chris Bassett as the hook, line, and sinker for Toronto. Toronto between a -125 to a -135 favorite and between +114 to +118 as your number on Kansas City. 8.5 is the total. Under is -115. The over is -105. And for the Jays, one way up to a -130 with them. It was very encouraging to see Seth Lugo in his last start be able to get you some nice strikeouts. As first few starts of the year, he was pitching to a lot of contact, and I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. That said, if you're getting like 5 strikeouts per 9 innings prior to that start, like he was getting, that's a little bit of a concern, and he's still only at about 5.4 strikeouts per 9 innings. That said, he's been able to do a lot of soft contact, only giving up about 2 walks per 9 innings, but it's concerning when you see a .66 ERA and a .342 fielding independent. Meanwhile, for Chris Bassett, he just has been a completely different pitcher when he has been in Toronto rather than when he has been pretty much anywhere else. As in Toronto, ever since he got to the Blue Jays, his ERA is about 2 full points lower when he's at home rather than away from home. And this is including his time with like the New York Mets, what have you. But if you just look at his entire career when he has pitched out there in Toronto, it's just vastly different than when he pitches anywhere else. In Toronto, he has been able to give you an ERA that is hovering right around about a 3.33. He gives you about 9 punch outs per 9 innings. He does a nice job keeping the ball in the yard. Throughout his career in the Rogers Center, he's only been giving up about 1 home run per 9 innings. That's north of 1.5 home runs per 9 innings when he hits the road. So that's very, very big in this spot. And I do think that the Toronto Blue Jays, who have a bullpen that is in the bottom half of the big leagues, that's going to improve. You get back Eric Swanson. You also get Jordan Romano back, who began the season on the injured list. Now you still have a few guys that are a little bit less than trustworthy out there in this bullpen. As Tim Mesa was so good for the team last year, he's posting up a north of 5 ERA. And when it comes to the Kansas City Royals, I do think that we're going to see a little bit of regression with this bullpen as well. Currently, they're number 9 in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA, and I really like Matt Sauer. He's been able to do a nice job for this team, but that said, they've got Jordan Lyles currently out of the fold, which I don't necessarily think is the world's worst thing, but that said, when you've got the likes of Chris Trent, Will Smith, Nick Anderson, these are veterans that you really don't want any part of, especially Will Smith. Like, man, that's just absolutely rough to say the least. It's been John Schreiber who's really stepped up in this bullpen, but they've had to use him up quite a bit, and for the Royals. This is a different offense when they're on the road rather than at home. They're averaging more than a full run less when they're away from home rather than when they are at home. But you've got a lot of guys supplying the boom. Each of your top five players with regards to total at-bats, at least four home runs as far this season. Now, in the case of Vinny Pascantino, Mikel Garcia, throw in there as well, MJ Melendez, they're providing a 311 on base or worse, and all three guys a 231 batting average or worse. But Salvador Perez, Bobby Witt Jr., both of these guys hitting north of a 315. In the case of Perez, he's been able to give you seven home runs. Need a little bit more from the likes of Adam Frazier, Hunter Renfro and company, but Royals have been able to piecemeal together a nice offense, and that's much more than what I could say for the Toronto Blue Jays. For the Blue Jays, I feel like there's going to be some positivity coming in for them, but I've been saying that for weeks, and there really hasn't been a lot of it. George Springer, Vlad Guerrero Jr., Bo Bichette, along with Kevon Biggio. I mean, all these guys are earning a 230 or lower. In the case of Vlad Guerrero Jr., George Springer, and Bo Bichette, all with three home runs or less. It's Justin Turner and Dalton Varsho that are really supplying the boom. Varsho has been able to give you six home runs, 325 on base. Justin Turner down for what? Four bombs at a 376 on base. Like, these two guys have been impressive, and everyone else has been just a big giant turd at the plate. And then for the Kansas City Royals, I do think that you're going to have Seth Lugo give up a little bit more contact in general, and I do think that there's some positivity coming for both of these lineups, so it's an interesting spot to be in. I did set my total at an 8.6. Seeing what we've got right now in terms of an 8.5, I'm going to be looking at the overs. I do think that Lugo just gives up a little bit too much contact, and I do think that Bassett is going to do a little bit of a better job at home. So here at a minus 125 or so, I'm going to be looking at that Blue Jays money line and going to be taking a look at this 8.5 over. 9.13, 9.14 on the betting board. The Baltimore Orioles play us the New York Yankees, as you've got Luis Eel on the bump for the Yankees and Corbin Burns on the bump for Baltimore. Baltimore is a minus 154 to a minus 162 favorite, and between plus 136 to a plus 145 is your number on the Yankees. 8.5 is the total, over and under anywhere between minus 105 to a minus 115. And for the Yankees, I needed at least a plus 156 to be able to take a shot on them. If you're looking to lay a run F in this ordeal, you're getting a plus 135 right now with the Baltimore Orioles. Needed at least a plus 130. So I'm actually going to be willing to lay the run F with Baltimore. I recognize it's a little bit of a roll of the dice with the way that the Yankees have been a top 8 team with regards to their bullpen ERA. Ian Hamilton, Ron Mananaccio being back after they were so good last season is solid. And then Victor Gonzalez, they picked him up from the LA Dodgers. He's been able to do a nice job holding down the fort for the team as well. And for the Baltimore Orioles, it's a little bit more of a roll of the dice when it comes to this bullpen, as now they've got out of the fold Craig Kimbrell, which that's not going to make a lot of people cry, as I know that he's been dealing with a little bit of an injury. But that said, I like Yennier Cano, Mike Bauman, Danny Kaboom. These are guys that are able to come out there. They're able to give you some relatively solid innings. So Bauman has been a little bit touch and go thus far this season. But for Baltimore, they got a nice start out of Dean Kramer, so they've got a relatively rested bullpen, and they're not going to need too much of it, in my opinion, with the way that Corbin Burns has been rolling thus far this season. 255 ERA, has given up the five home runs in 35 and a third innings. That's really the lone knock that I have on him. Right now, he's giving up only about 2.1, 2.2 walks per nine innings. He's getting nine strikeouts per nine innings, has allowed three earned runs or fewer in every one of his starts thus far this season. And you look on the flip side for Luis Eel. I mean, the guy has really good swing and miss stuff, and just really good stuff in general. That said, this guy just really needs to be able to find the strike zone, as he's Rick the Wild Thing Vaughn 2.0. 6.9 walks per 9 innings, 13 strikeouts per 9 innings, 4.01 ERA, and a 3.81 fielding bend. And he's honestly gotten the results that he deserves, as he doesn't give up a lot of contact in general. He just walks a whole bunch of guys, and that means that the Yankees bullpen is going to be getting a little bit taxed. And for the Yankees, we've seen some regression after they scored those 30 runs on Saturday and Sunday against the Milwaukee Brewers, and it is a little bit of a top-heavy lineup. You've got Juan Soto, who's been amazing. He goes deep again yesterday. He's belting north of a 425 on base, and it does seem like Aaron Judge is starting to get a little bit more online. It's still been a relatively rough season for him, but I mean, in the case of Aaron Judge, a rough season is being able to supply six home runs and north of a 325 on base. Anthony Rizzo has come back. He, Giancarlo Stanton, both with 5+ home runs. In the case of Stanton, he's been a little bit all or nothing, while Rizzo has been able to give you more around a 260 average. But Bond the Fold, Austin Wells, though he went deep yesterday, has been a little bit rough. And Jose Trevino has actually been solid at the catcher spot, but it just doesn't compare to what you're able to get 1-9 with the Baltimore Orioles, where they just literally do not have a single easy out in the lineup. And among their guys that have seen at least 50 at-bats this far this season, Every one of them has belted at least four home runs this far this season. That's eight guys in total. And all but two of these guys are hitting at least a 290. Like, good grief. These guys have absolutely been lighting the world on fire. You've got Gunnar Anderson who's leading the way with 10 home runs. Everyone else has six home runs or fewer. But I mean, just 1 through 9 with this team. Everyone is supplying it. You've got so much depth that they're able to platoon for righties versus lefties as well. And I do think that with Luis Eel, he'll probably do a nice job of holding down the fort for a few innings. But again, that pitch count gets jacked up. And then from there, the Orioles should be able to take hold on this bullpen. So, circumstance where I'm going to be willing to lay the run half with the Orioles, I was willing to take anything of a plus 130 or higher, and I did sell my total at 8.3. I do think that the Yankees scratch across a few runs, but I think the Corbin Burns continues to be consistent. And like I said, with Luis Eel, even though I don't think he lends length, I think he's going to be effective. So, I do like this 8.5 under, and I do like the Orioles on the run line, laying a run half. 9.15, 9.16 on the main board. The Houston Astros playoffs to the Cleveland Guardians. Tristan McKenzie is on the bump for Cleveland. Justin Verlander goes for Houston. Houston is between minus 160 to minus 175. Meanwhile, it would be plus 143 to plus 155 is your number on Cleveland. 8.5 is the total. Under is minus 115 and the over is minus 105. I was willing to take a plus 137 or higher on the Cleveland Guardians. Astros very nearly blew a 5-run lead yesterday, and this Astros bullpen is very concerning. They're in the bottom 10 in the big leagues in terms of their bullpen ERA. Guardians, meanwhile, they're a top 3 team in the big leagues in terms of their bullpen ERA. It really just doesn't compare. Now, we'll say that both of these bullpens got quite taxed yesterday. Yesterday goes to extra innings, and for Tristan McKenzie, it's been a less than savory year for him, but does feel like he's starting to get back to the Tristan McKenzie that we all know and love. 3 earned runs surrendered or fewer in 3 out of his last 4 starts. He began the year relatively rough, but keep in mind, during the 2022 campaign, the last year he was fully healthy, he just had a loss here last year. Posting up a sub-3 ERA, was giving out about 9 strikeouts, 2.2 walks per 9 innings. So I do like what he was able to bring to the table there for Cleveland. They had to throw so many of their bullpen pieces, but really everyone other than Cade Smith threw less than 14 pitches yesterday. That includes your closer and Emmanuel Clase. That includes Tim Herron, who's got a sub-1 ERA, so they should be all good to go there. And for the Houston Astros, they suck a lot of chips in the basket of Josh Hader and Ryan Presley, and Hader had to throw multiple innings yesterday, so he's going to be out of the fold. Not necessarily the world's worst thing, as both of these guys have north of a 6 ERA thus far this season. That has been relatively rough. You've honestly been able to get some relatively solid innings out of a few unsung heroes for this team. Sean Dubin and someone that I really don't trust him, but Seth Martinez, Taylor Scott, these guys have been halfway okay. And for Houston, what I really love for this team is the 3 main mashers, Yordan Alvarez, Kyle Tucker, Jose Altuve. They have all been able to give you at least 7 home runs this far this season out of these 3 guys. All but one of them in Mr. Yordan Alvarez giving you north of a 400 on base. All 3 guys hitting at least a 260. And Jeremy Pena, he's hitting a 325. He's really had a nice resurgence this season. 1 through 9, sans Jose Abreu. We're not going to be seeing him anytime soon. They've all been able to do a nice job of being able to mash. And you've now got Alex Bregman, who finally got his first home run of the season yesterday. And for Cleveland, even though they are not necessarily a team that's completely ripping the cover off the ball, they're much better than they were a season ago with regards to their power numbers when they were dead last in the league. And you've got so many guys like Andre Jimenez, Josh Naylor, Stephen Kwan, who are supplying a batting average of at least 380. Naylor has been your main power source, 7 home runs as far this season. And Jose Ramirez, he's allergic to walks, but sitting north of 250, he's been able to do a nice job ripping 5 plus bombs for this team. I do think that for Houston, they're going to be up against it a little bit with a guy in Justin Verlander. In his first 2 starts, he's looked relatively solid, but the fielding independent is more than a 0.5 higher than his ERA. He's got a sub-2 ERA, more around about a 335 fielding independent, and with the way that Tristan McKenzie has looked much better recently, still does need to cut down on the walks. 17 walks in 22 innings this far this season, but has looked a little bit better here recently. A combined 5 walks in his last 2 starts. I do think that the Cleveland Guardians do lend quite a bit of solid value. So, circumstance where at a plus 137 or higher, I'm going to be looking at the Guardians money line. And did somebody told an 8.8? I think that McKenzie still going to give up some runs. Like I said, 2 very tired bullpens in this one. So, do like the over, and I do like the money line of Cleveland. 9.17, 9.18 on the betting board. The Tampa Bay Rays hit the road they're facing off against the Milwaukee Brewers. Colin Ray says, hit Pippa Ray to another start, and Zach Eflin hopes to not be Eflin awful for the Rays. Rays are between minus 115 to minus 125 favorites. Between plus 105 to plus 108 is your number on the Brew Crew. 8 to 8.5 is the total on the 8.5. Under is minus 120. The over is even on the 8. Over is minus 115. And the under is minus 105. I said the Brewers at a minus 124. I'm going to be willing to back them on the money line. The Rays were able to take game number 1 of this series thanks to scoring 1 stinking run on Monday. But I mean, that's just the issue that you've got with the Tampa Bay Rays. This team is not hitting right now with Randy Arozarena. .220 on base, .143 batting average. Yandy Diaz, along with Jose Siri, both hitting a .290 or worse with regards to their on-base percentage. You've got guys that are honestly able to move the line outside of that. Ahmed Rosario, Richie Palacios, Isak Paredes, Ben Rotfit. These are all guys hitting at least a .290, but the power numbers just are not there for this team like they were a season ago. Harold Ramirez has taken a few steps back. Meanwhile, for the Brewers, I do anticipate some regression. The baseball savant numbers really do back that up, but the young guys have done a nice job finding a way to be able to get on base. We've got Bryce Durang, Blake Perkins, Joey Ortiz, all in at least a .260 in the case of Ortiz, about a .385 on base. Sal Frelick has done a solid job of being able to move the line, and I love William Contreras. 5-plus home runs, 400-plus on-base percentage. You've had Rhys Hoskins be able to give you some nice power, though. He's a little bit of an all-or-nothing hitter at this point, and Willie Adames has been able to move the line as well. For the Brewers, their ERA did get heightened with that series against the New York Yankees, but for my money, this is still a top-five bullpen in the big leagues. You've got Hobie Milner, Elvis Piguero, Joe Piams, all these guys that supplied a sub-3.5 ERA last season. Brian Hudson has been very good in this bullpen, and for the Tampa Bay Rays, all of a sudden, they find themselves in the bottom eight in the big leagues in terms of their bullpen ERA. Pete Fairbanks, currently out of the fold for the team, and he was really bad when he was actually out there. You've got Jason Adam along with Garrett Clevenger have been solid, but now you've got Colin Pouche who's out of the fold. Phil Maton has been posting up north of 5 ERA, so you've got a lot of issues with this team. And for Colin Ray, after he last year was a little bit less than savory, and I will say this for Colin Ray, since he joined the Milwaukee Brewers, his ERA is about 0.6 points higher when he's at home rather than away from home. He's looked much better this season, about a .325 ERA. He has given up 5 home runs in 27 and 2/3 innings. His fielding independent does not back up the ERA. He's only getting about 7 strikeouts per 9 innings, giving up about 3 walks per 9 innings. But I've liked what I've seen there. And for Zach Eflin, you know that the command is going to be there. Since joining the Tampa Bay Rays, he's been giving up fewer than 2 walks per 9 innings. But that said, for Zach Eflin, he has given up 5 home runs in 35 and a third innings. And swing and miss stuff is down. He's only getting about 7.5 to 8 strikeouts per 9 innings as far this season, coming off of an atrocious start against the Chicago White Sox. And I do think that the Brewers are going to be able to catch up to him. And I think that both of these guys are going to give up some runs. So I did set my total at 8.7 here at an 8 to an 8.5. I'm going to be looking at the over. And with the Brewers, I'm going to be willing to take them as a plus money underdog. I set them as the favorite of minus 124. 919, 920 on the betting board. The St. Louis Cardinals get the other facing off against the Detroit Tigers. Get to Maeda. Goes for the Tigers. And Miles Michaelis is on the bump for St. Louis. St. Louis is a even money to minus 110. Very slight underdog. And between minus 108 to a minus 115, seeing as good as minus 105, that's your number on Detroit. 8.5 is the total. Over and under, anywhere between minus 105 to a minus 115. And with the Tigers, I did set them at a minus 132. I'm going to be one to back them. Get to my 8. That's had a really rough start to the season. North of a 6 ERA, north of a 6 fielding independent. The 7 home runs that he has surrendered, that is the most out there in the big leagues. But you got Miles Michaelis, who hasn't looked a whole heck of a lot better. If you look at Miles Michaelis over the last few seasons, the fielding independent indicates that he's been getting a little bit unlucky. 5.91 ERA, fielding independent, that's about a point lower. But he's given up 6 home runs in 32 innings. He does a good job not giving out a lot of walks, only about 2 walks per 9 innings. But he just gets absolutely tattooed, and he's backed up by a St. Louis Cardinals unit that they did have to dive very deep into that bullpen in game number 2 with Steven Matz not giving the performance that they were looking for. Now, we'll say this about both of these teams. They're both in the top 10 in the big leagues with regards to their bullpen ERA. Giorgio Romero has really been able to pick it up along with Matthew Liberatore to help things out for the Cardinals, as you know that your main man is going to be Ryan Elsley, all-star closer from 2 seasons ago. Ryan Fernandez has been solid in a long role, but he got used up quite a bit yesterday as well. But for the Detroit Tigers, what I like about this bullpen, the reason why I favor them a little bit more than the Cardinals bullpen, is that it's just so well-rounded with this Tigers bullpen. You don't really have anyone other than Tyler Holton, who's been posting up an ERA that is north of 5, and Wolves is the only other guy that has an ERA that's really above 3.15. Like, all these guys, Alex Fiedo, Jason Foley, Alex Lang, Joey Wentz, they've all done a nice job being able to hold down the fort. And for the Detroit Tigers, the offensive numbers are a little bit less than savory. They're in the bottom half of the big leagues in terms of home runs, runs per game, what have you. But that said, the team has still been able to give you at least 4 runs in 10 of their last 14 games. Riley Green along with Mark Canna. Yes, they can give you some power. Combined 12 home runs between the two of them, both supplying north of a 385 on base. Spencer Torkelson has been miserable. He has yet to get a home run this season. He's been a little bit in and out of the fold last few days. Parker Meadows, Javi Baez, Colt Keith, Jason Rogers, laying below 200 has been rough for the team. But when Gio Urshela has gotten at bats, he's been able to do a nice job putting back to ball. Him being on the injured list has been hurting the Detroit Tigers team a little bit, but found a way to persevere yesterday. Meanwhile, for the St. Louis Cardinals, this has been one of the more miserable teams in terms of being able to put back to ball themselves. Wilson Contreras right now leading the way along Nolan Gorman with four home runs, but for Nolan Gorman, Lars Nootbaar, Jordan Walker, Victor Scott, these guys sitting below a 225 has been rough. They're kicking the tires on Brandon Crawford. And in small sample size, not a lot doing there. And for Nolan Arenado, well, he's hitting about a 275. Just one home run this far this season. And Paul Goldschmidt, he's starting to pick it up a little bit. But 325 on base, two home runs. You just need more out of these guys. And I do think the Kenta Maeda going to be able to keep it rolling against a St. Louis Cardinals team that just in general is not doing a great job being able to generate offense, but both of these starters have been rough this year as well. I do think that both of these starters let up some runs, and these Tiger bullpens, they do get taxed a little bit more in this game as well. Did semi-total at 80.8, so I'm looking at the over, and with the Detroit Tigers going to be taking them on the money line, made them a -132 favorite, 921, 922 on the betting board. The Oakland A's play host to the Pittsburgh Pirates as Quinn Pricer goes for the Buccos, and Ross Stripling is on the bump for Oakland. Oakland is a very slight underdog, anywhere between even money to +105. Meanwhile, anywhere between -111 to -120 is your number on Pittsburgh. It is totally under, it's -115. The over is -105. And I set the Oakland A's at a -134. I'm going to be willing to back them on the money line. For Quinn Pricer, I just have not been able to get behind him at all. He's a 350 ERA with a fielding independent north of 5. He has given up so many deep balls since he's gotten called up to the big leagues. This extends into his stint during the 2023 campaign as well, giving up north of 1.7 home runs per 9 innings. So, good news is he gets to play out there in Oakland. Bad news is it's not during the nighttime, but rather during the daytime where it's a little bit more friendly to hitters. He also gets to go up against an Oakland A's team that, quite frankly, just has not been able to put bat to ball thus far this season, though they were able to put up a 5 spot yesterday. For Oakland, this team is in the bottom 5 of the big leagues in terms of runs per game. They've honestly been a halfway decent home run team, though. J.J. Blade A goes deep twice yesterday. You've got Jay Langelaers, who's been able to do a really nice job of being able to supply the deep ball. He's been able to give you 6 home runs, but that said, you take a look at the guys that were in the lineup yesterday. You got one guy for the Oakland A's that left the game with north of a 250 batting average, and that would be Tyler Nevin. So that's a little bit of an issue for this team, as you got guys like Nick Allen, Lawrence Butler, Seth Brown, Brent Rooker, throwing their Ryan Noda, all these guys hitting a 210 or lower. But it's not like the Pittsburgh Pirates are doing a great job with their lineup. You've got a trio of guys, Cabrian Hayes, Connor Joe, Brian Reynolds, who have been able to give you at least a 350 on base. And for Joe, he did make things go yesterday with his third home run in the campaign. But for the Pittsburgh Pirates, they're in the bottom 10 in the big leagues with regards to their home run power as well. Brian Reynolds is the only guy with north of 3 home runs thus far this season. O'Neill Cruz has not been able to reach base, about a 290 on base out of him. Jack Swinski, Andrew McCutcheon, Rowdy Tellez, these guys that you thought were going to be stabilizing forces, they're all hitting below the nose line of 200 as well. And for the Pittsburgh Pirates, what's really been shocking is how bad their bullpen has been. Going into the year, I thought that this was going to be one of their strengths. David Benar, Aroldis Chapman have both north of a 5 ERA. Ryan Borucki being out of the fold to serve them. Colin Olderman has legitimately been their best reliever with a sub-2 ERA. And for the Oakland A's, this team is in the top 10 in the big leagues with regards to their bullpen ERA. The likes of Danny Jimenez, Austin Adams, Lucas Hirsch have been able to give you sub-3 ERA. Still feel like Mason Miller should be a starter, but he's been tremendous in the ninth inning as well. And then for Ross Stripling, no doubt about it, not a guy that's going to go out there and it's going to give you a whole bunch of swings and misses or anything like that, but his ballpark very much suits him very well, as he is a bit more of a pitch of contact guy. He's given up just 3 home runs in 34 and a third innings. He's got a 4.98 ERA, but if you look at the fielding independent, far better than that. He's only getting about 6.6 strikeouts per 9 innings, but I do think that he's going to be able to go out there, hold down the fort, and find a way to be able to get the Oakland A's a victory in this one. I did set the A's at a -134. Going to be willing to take the plus number on the money line. Did set my total at 8.4. Just not high expectations for Pricer along this rough bullpen, and this is a day game out there in Oakland, so ball is going to travel a little bit better. So I like the over and the money line of Oakland, 923, 924 on the betting board. The Atlanta Braves, they're facing off against the Seattle Mariners as Emerson Hancock is going to be going for Seattle. Chris Sale is on the bump for Atlanta. Atlanta is a favorite of any between minus 165 to minus 175. Between plus 145 to plus 155 is your number on Seattle. 7.5 is the total. Over and under anywhere between minus 105 to minus 115. Was willing to take a plus 148 or higher on Seattle, so going to be willing to back them. This Seattle Mariners team has just been absolutely awesome in terms of their pitching thus far this season. They entered in yesterday with their starting pitching, I believe, giving up something like 17 runs in their last 16 starts. Like, I mean, this team has just went into inferno mode with that regard. And for the Atlanta Braves, this is the top offense in the big leagues, at the very least it was, entering into the series. And first two games of the series, they've been held down. Now, do I think that they're going to bust out a little bit more? Yes, you've got the likes of Michael Harris, Jared Kelnick, Ozzie Albies, along with Marcell Ozuna, all hitting above a 300 with Ozuna being able to supply 9 home runs. But he's really the lone guy on the roster with 5-plus home runs thus far this season. Atlanta's actually been a little bit down with regards to the deep ball. Meanwhile, for the Seattle Mariners, you've got a few albatrosses like Mitch Garver, Ode Polanco, Dylan Moore, Luke Rayleigh, guys hitting a 220 or lower. In the case of Rayleigh, he's hitting a 218, but a 232 on base. And that said, you've got plenty of guys like Julio Rodriguez who have been able to find a way to be able to get on base. Mitch Haniger, he had that nice grand slam against the Arizona Diamondbacks. It's been a little bit rough going for him, but have Cal Raleigh, who's been able to give you 7 home runs as well. And Josh Rojas, 400 on base with a little bit of power. That's been tremendous, but not as tremendous as this Mariners bullpen. They are currently number one in the big leagues with regards to bullpen ERA. It's not even like it's a whole bunch of big names or anything like that. Like Tyson Miller, Gabe Spier, able to throw in there Cody Bolton, Trent Thornton. These were complete cast offs that they've just made into really good bullpen pieces. And for Emerson Hancock, he's really starting to find himself. He had a little bit of a rough start to begin the season, giving up a combined 11 runs in his first two starts. In his last three, though, against the Rockies on the road, the Diamondbacks, and the Chicago Cubs, he's given up a combined 5 runs, 4 of which earned in these starts. He does a nice job with regards to his command, just like all these Seattle Mariners pitchers. He's giving up fewer than 2.5 walks per 9 innings. Swing and miss stuff just has not quite been there, but he's still given the team 4-plus strikeouts in each out of his last 4 starts as well. Going against someone in Chris Sale, who has always been a nice strikeout artist in his own right for his career, well north of 10 punchouts per 9 innings. But that said, Chris Sale, when he misses his spot, he can get hit relatively hard. In an Atlanta Braves uniform, he's been able to do a little bit of a better job of this than he did a season ago with the Boston Red Sox. That said, he's still been giving up a little bit north of a home run per 9 innings. You've got an Atlanta Braves bullpen as well that has been a little bit shaky. They give up the game on Monday. You've had Tyler Mancek not come back from injury very well. Now, we'll say you've got likes of Joey Jimenez, Rossy Iglesias, along with Dylan Lee. They have supplied a sub-3 ERA, but for Sale, 4 home runs, give it up in 32 and two-thirds innings. Still getting a little bit north of 9 strikeouts per 9 innings. And to his credit, 7 walks, he given up in 31 and two-thirds innings. 3.69 ERA. Fielding independent is much better than that. So I do think that both of these pitchers are going to be able to do a relatively solid job, but I do think that we're going to see a little bit of an eruption here from the Atlanta Braves lineup. I don't think that they're going to be held down forever, and I do think that there's a little bit of regression with Seattle, but I also think that the Seattle Bats are going to be able to bust out a little bit as well. They've been one of the more unlucky teams on balls in play. So, did set my total at an 8.4. I'm going to be looking at the over. And with Seattle, I want to take this north of plus 150 money line price. 925, 926 on the betting board. The Philadelphia Phillies at the road facing off against the LA Angels. Patrick Sandoval goes for the Halos and Zach Wheelan and Dylan Wheeler is on the bump for the Phillies. Phillies do find themselves anywhere between minus 165 to minus 178 favorites. Anywhere between plus 150 to plus 160. That is your number on the Halos. It is the total. The under is between minus 110 to a minus 120. The over is anywhere between even and minus 110. And I originally had the Phillies at a minus 145 on the money line. I was willing to go to minus 168 with the injury to Mike Trout, so I made a 23-cent adjustment. And if you're looking to lay a run and a half with the Philadelphia Phillies, you're able to get between even money and minus 105, and that's what I'm going to be looking at with the Phillies. I'm willing to go up to a minus 108 with them. It's a Phillies lineup that is still very rock solid. You've had Alec Boehm, you've had Trey Turner be able to do a really nice job of just being a move line, both of these guys hitting north of a 325. And now for the LA Angels, this is a bunch that is very, very powerless, figuratively and literally, because Mike Trout, he was supplying the team with 10 home runs this far this season, so that's a little bit of an issue. But I will say, with the Angels, it's not like they're completely bereft of anyone that's able to move the line. Joe Adell, in like his 7th call up to the big league level, he's not been able to give you 4 home runs. He's been able to give you a little bit of something. Taylor Ward has done a nice job. He's been able to supply 7 plus home runs this far this season. He's hitting north of a 260, and then the former Phillies catcher and Logan Ohapi. He's been able to give you north of a 325 on base, but you have a lot of guys out there like Brandon Drury, Noah Chenal, Mickey Moniak. These are guys hitting below a 230. That has been rough. And for the Philadelphia Phillies, you've had Kyle Schwarber, not necessarily hit for average, but he's now up to 8 home runs as far this season. And now you've got Nick Castellanos, who's been able to give you a pair of home runs over the last week or so. For the Phillies, you also have a issue with his bullpen. And really, for both of these teams, both of these bullpens have been rough. But once you get outside the month of April, and now we're into May, I do think that there's going to be a little bit of a tick up for this Philadelphia Phillies bullpen. I have no idea what it is, but they just always struggle in the first month of the season. Cesar Dominguez, Gregory Soto, Jose Alvarado, all posting up north of 5 ERA. That's been an issue, but like I said, I do think that there's positivity coming. Meanwhile, the Angels, they entered into yesterday 27th in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. I don't think that there's any positivity coming for them. You've got so many reclamation projects out there, like Adam Simber, along with Hunter Strickland. They were kicking the tires on even an older guy like a Jose Cicierno, it looks like, is out of the fold. They're bringing in Amir Garrett. Like, good grief, this is not great. If you could get to Pat Moore and Carlos Estevez, they're not bad, but that is rough, to say the least. And what else is rough is taking a look at Patrick Sandoval trying to hold down the fort, as he's done a much better job this year than he did a season ago. A season ago, he gave up a bunch of walks. Really, the only thing that he was doing was not giving up home runs, and that is the specialty of Patrick Sandoval. He does a nice job of being able to induce some soft contact. He's given up just 0.7 home runs per 9 innings this season. He's got a 6.33 ERA. He's pitched better than that. 3.71 fielding independent. I don't think he's anything amazing, but he's not as bad as the 6.33 ERA would indicate. That said, he's still giving up about 4.5 walks per 9 innings with a bullpen that is just absolutely ghastly buying him. I'm going to be willing to back the Phillies and Zach Wheeler and deal with Wheeler, as Wheeler has been able to do a nice job, be able to supply some good length. He's been able to do a nice job on the road as well, as that's always been a little bit of an issue for Zach Wheeler. Over the last few seasons, he's had an ERA that has been about a point higher when he's been away from home rather than when he's been at home, but he's been very complete this year. .93 ERA, his 244 fielding independent, that leads qualifying NL starters with about 11 strikeouts for 9 innings, giving up in his 37 and a third innings, just 2 home runs thus far this season. So looking at the Phillies on the run line, willing to lay the run half up to a minus 108 in. Did somebody total at an 8.1 here at the 8? Also going to be taking a look at the over. 927, 928 on the betting board. The San Francisco Giants hit the road. They're facing off against the Boston Red Sox, as it is old to be determined who's going to be on the bump for San Francisco, and Cutter Crawford goes for Boston. I have this as pretty much a bullpen game for the San Francisco Giants. I marked Ryan Walker as the starter slash opener, but that said, I think that you're going to see him. Sean Hegele is probably going to be a little bit of a bulk guy. It's not going to change too much if Ryan Walker is not the opener, and say you get like Taylor Rogers or something, as I did set this line to where I'm willing to lay up to a minus 137 on the Red Sox money line, plus 139 or higher. I'm going to be taking a look at the San Francisco Giants, and then in terms of the total, 9 or less, I'm looking at the over, 9.5 or higher. I'm going to be taking a look at the total under, as for Cutter Crawford, he really struggled in Boston last year. He had an ERA of a 6 at home. Meanwhile, his ERA was a 2.55 when he was away from home, so I do find that to be very curious, but Crawford has been absolutely tremendous this year. 33 and a third innings, has yet to give up a home run. He's got 34 strikeouts in these innings. He's given up about 3 walks per 9 innings. And do I think that there's going to be regression with Cutter Crawford? Yes, because trying to maintain a .35 ERA, that's not necessarily too easy. If you look at the fielding independent numbers, he is clocking in more in the neighborhood of about a 220. So he's been still very, very good with this regard. And for the San Francisco Giants, this has been a bullpen that has been an issue, to say the least. For the San Francisco Giants, bullpen ERA dead last in the big leagues entering into yesterday. So having a bullpen game with a Giants bullpen that is less than great, that's a bit rough. But I do think that we are going to see Cutter Crawford begin to get tattooed a little bit more. You've got the likes of Michael Conforto, Matt Chapman, Theriot Estrada all being able to supply between 4 and 5 home runs. These guys aren't really moving the line very much, all three of those guys, a 304 on base or less. But you've been able to have Lamont Wade Jr. do a nice job providing a 450 on base. You've been able to get some good at-bats out of Patrick Bailey. He's been able to about a 280. Giants always do a good job of being able to platoon lefties and righties as well. And for the Boston Red Sox, this bullpen has been honestly a pretty nice surprise. Justin Slayton has become a really good long guy for the team. Chris Martin along Kenley Jansen in the 8th and 9th inning, pretty solid. You did have Martin yak it up a little bit on Sunday Night Baseball, but Kenley Jansen, if you can avoid just the super big spots, he always comes through for you. Meanwhile, for the Boston Red Sox, you've had 9 home runs out of Tyler O'Neill thus far this season. He has been amazing. 433 on base. Need a little bit more balance in this lineup. Tristan Casas deal with an injury with his 6 home runs, 344 on base. That's a little bit of an issue, and what I think is really holding the team back You got the likes of Emmanuel Valdez, Bobby Udalbach, Pablo Reyes, Sadine Rafaela, who are all ending below the Mendoza line of a 200, but Jaron Duran, he's been able to give you about a 340 on base. Masataka Yoshida, he's up to about a 350 on base, not giving you a lot of power, but he's been able to move the line at the very least. And for the San Francisco Giants, I do think that they're going to be able to get to Cutter Crawford a little bit in the spot. For the Red Sox, they should be getting Garrett Cooper any day now as well. That's going to be able to help them out a tab, but circumstance where I'm going to be willing to lay up to a minus 137 with the Red Sox, going to be willing to take a plus 139 or higher with regards to the San Francisco Giants. And then in terms of this total, a 9 or less, I'm going to be looking at the over, a 9.5 or higher. I'm going to be taking a look at this total under, and we wrap things up with 929, 930 on the betting board. It's the Walker Texas Rangers. They're playing us to the Washington Nationals. As you got Trevor Williams on the bump for the Nats. Andrew Heaney goes for Texas. Texas is back to being a favorite. Between minus 156 to minus 170. Between plus 142 to plus 145 is your number on the Washington Nationals. And it's the total. Over is anywhere between minus 120 to minus 105. The under is anywhere between even and minus 115. It's up by total at 9.3. I'm going to be looking at the over. Trevor Williams has been a nice revelation for the Nationals as far this season. He's posting up just a 2.70 ERA. If you look at the advanced numbers, though, you should be very concerned about those. As for Trevor Williams, he has not really been getting a lot of swings and misses, only about 6.5 strikeouts. Brian Engs, where he's really thrived, is in 26 and 2/3 innings. He's yet to give up a home run this year. Last year, he gave up 2.1 home runs per nine innings. His career average is 1.3 bombs per nine. I do think that this is going to be ticking northward, and I think that it's going to be sooner rather than later against the Texas Rangers lineup that just has not really been able to bust out the way that they did a season ago. And I do think that they're going to be able to get a little bit warm. The 7 runs that they put up yesterday, I do think that that's a sign of things to come. Wyatt Langford, it took him a very long time to be able to get home run number one, but now he's been able to find his groove a little bit more. You've got Adolis Garcia, who's really carried the team. A-plus bombs, he's able to give you about a 350 on base, and Nathaniel Lowe, he's been able to get well above a 300, doing a good job moving the line. It's been uncharacteristic to look at Marcus Semien, Corey Seager, a pair of guys that are giving you just a 320 on base, not necessarily supplying a lot of power out of either of those guys. You know that it's going to come for them sooner rather than later. And for the Washington Nationals, you've got a few guys at the top that are doing a nice job moving the line. Jesse Winker has provided about a 380 on base, had a grand slam in that series against the Miami Marlins. CJ Abrams has been able to give you 6-plus home runs. He's providing about a 375 on base, but Kiber Ruiz, Eddie Rosario, Joey Gallo, these are guys hitting a buck 50 or less. Then Nick Senzel's giving you about a 283 on base. They're really not supplying a lot of power, though. For the Washington Nationals, what's been nice for them this far this season, and a big reason why they've been a little bit of an upstart surprise, is that the bullpen has actually done a nice job of holding down the fort now. I do think that we're going to see some regression with Kyle Finnegan. I just never trust that guy, but so far he's been able to have a relatively solid year. Jordan Weems is a guy that I've always liked. He, along with Derek Law, have been able to give you a sub-3.5 ERA. You've got Hunter Harvey, who's relatively good in this bullpen. Tanner Rainey just has not looked like himself this far this season, but all in all, they're doing a relatively solid job there. Meanwhile, you've got a Texas Rangers team that is more around 18th in the league in terms of bullpen ERA, a little bit better than it was a season ago when they were more like 22nd. You bring in Kirby Yates, you bring in David Robertson. That's been able to help them out quite a bit, but I do think that as long as you can keep Jacob Lyons out there, that's going to be able to help out this bullpen, as you've had a rough start to the season for Jose Leclerc. But all in all, I do think that these guys are taking some strides of improvement, and the big thing for Andrew Heaney, he just can't give up the deep ball. For Andrew Heaney, he's always had relatively good swing and miss stuff for his career. He gives you about 10 strikeouts per 9 innings, which has ticked down a little bit here in the last 2 years. It's been more around about 9 strikeouts per 9 innings since joining the Texas Rangers, as a matter of fact, in a Rangers uniform. 444 ERA, but about a 479 fielding independent, giving up about a home run and a half per 9 innings. But I do think that going up against Washington Nationals, not going to give up as much of the deep ball. I do think that both of these starters are going to give up quite a bit of contact, and I do think that the Rangers are able to take it to that Nationals bullpen and bust out of their funk a little bit. It's a circumstance where I set the Rangers at a minus 178 on the money line. If you're looking to lay a run and a half, you're getting a plus 125, was willing to take pretty much anything of a plus 105 or higher. So I'm going to be willing to lay a run and a half with the Texas Rangers, and I'm going to be taking a look at the 9 over, and that'll wrap things up for the Wednesday edition of the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Big thanks to Jared Smith of VSiN for joining me in the last segment. If you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Baseball Betting Show, you're able to subscribe wherever you get podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter /XSimLion at GNN_D1. Keep in mind, letters here, they mean does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline, and the other way is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like here on this podcast via that 5-star review, and I'm coming at you guys every single day throughout the baseball season. That means I'm back with you once again tomorrow. Thank you.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like...
Whoa.
And...
Hmm.
Not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
Hello, I'm Dr. Michael Mosley, and I want to let you know about my new immersive BBC Radio 4 podcast series, Deep Calm. It's all about how to tap into and activate a remarkable system that we all have hardwired inside of us, our relaxation response. And it's been developed to be listened to at any time you want to really unwind. I hope you'll listen wherever you get your BBC podcasts.